Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another Crime Time extravaganza. Both of this week's guest investigators have been guilty of something of which I myself have also been accused, putting jokes into their crime novels. Ruth Dudley Edwards is a serious journalist and biographer. Ruth, is the crime fiction a relief from the serious stuff?
Absolutely essential, Simon. I'd run amok otherwise.
I see. Your sanity is at risk. Fine. Our second guest investigator is Simon Shaw, an actor, many of whose crime novels feature an actor protagonist. Philip Fletcher, however, is hardly the clean-cut detective. He's massively egotistical, totally amoral, and a self-confessed murderer. Simon, where do you get your ideas from?
All of my books are strictly autobiographical, Simon.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. But what are they going to investigate? We need a crime scenario, a scenario peopled by the guilty and the innocent, by the witnesses, the suspects and the victim, all of whom will, as ever, be played by Foul Play's regulars, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Let's get straight to the meat of the programme, the murder, as I ask Maria to read us the opening of this week's mystery entitled Dead Broads Don't Talk.
It was one of those afternoons in the city when the air's so hot it wouldn't move for a fire alarm. And in a fancy white apartment off Santa Monica Boulevard, a redhead lay on a silk-covered davenport. She was almost wearing a silk negligee and had the kind of body the Pope might have given up Lent for. But His Holiness would have been wasting his time. The redhead had a shut mouth and an open bullet wound right behind her right ear. Beside her lay a gun. A lady's gun. Not that anyone should find comfort in that. A lot of people in this city get killed by ladies' guns, and they're not any less dead.
Well, sounds to me like we're in 1940s American hard-boiled territory here. Ruth and Simon, does what you've heard prompt any particular thoughts at this moment?
I'm very worried about why the Pope's been brought into it.
Right. Is that a religious objection or just a social one?
No, I'm a historian. I'm searching for truth.
I see, yes.
You don't think the Pope's a suspect, do you?
Well, I'm opening up this possibility.
So, as of this point, your chief suspect would be the Pope. Right. Yes. OK, I'll just make a note of that. But we do, I think, need a little more information on the case, so let's catch up with the official police cover-up. The police inquiry, which is being handled by Detective Lieutenant Jesse Kopp of the Los Angeles Police Department, who is even at this moment giving a press briefing.
Right. The name of the deceased was Lois Van Horen, age 37, born Galveston, Texas. Moved to Los Angeles 8 years back. Got involved in the movie business, played a few small parts. Made some influential friends, though. Producers, financiers, hoods. Was set up in her apartment by Luigi Cannelloni, head of the Cannelloni family. Who, as you probably know, currently involved in a big turf war with the Linguini family. Yeah, Lois's relationship with Luigi Cannelloni seems to have gone cold 3 months back when he took up with a new playmate, Mimi Shazam, also called an actress. Miss Van Horen's body was discovered by a private investigator called Philip Beaumont, who claims she called him to her apartment on a professional matter. The gun she was shot with was her own. What makes the timing of Lois Van Horen's death kind of interesting is that she called the LAPD yesterday, saying she had information we'd kill to know about. I'd scheduled to meet with her in my office at 11 o'clock this morning. She never made it.
Thank you very much, Detective Lieutenant Kopp. Still, at least now we've got a few names of potential suspects. Ruth, is the one name there which has set your suspicion tingling?
It's far too early to make
it. It is.
I'm still sticking with the Pope.
Yes. Simon, are you... Is it a papist conspiracy so far as you're
well,
concerned?
It's either the Pope or a celebrity chef, I think.
Right. OK. It's time we had some more information in the form of statements from three of the people who have some level of involvement in this appalling murder. And first we'll hear from Lois's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, Luigi Cannelloni.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I knew Lois Van Horen. I knew lots of broads. I have, like, a magnetism for broads, you know? Yeah, I'm a businessman. Yeah, family business. We have interests in a lot of areas. What? All legitimate businesses? Yeah, sure. No, I ain't got no criminal record. Nothing's ever stuck. And if you want to check that out, talk to my brother, Antonio, the lawyer, okay? Sorry, back to Lois. Yeah, well, Lois and I was real close at one time. We had a lot of shared interests, anyways, we was real close. I was real sad to hear the poor broad's dead, but things between us had kind of cooled off. Time of the murder, where was I? Yeah, I was at a poker game, yeah. We have these long poker games, 24 hours sometimes. It's a family thing. Sorry? Who could, what? Corroborate my story? Oh, right. Who else was there? Well, there was my brothers. That's Giuseppe Cannelloni, Giovanni Cannelloni, Silvio Cannelloni, and Bruno Cannelloni. No, Antonio wasn't at the game. He was in court. Yeah, well, they can all vouch. I was at the poker game. Miss Shazam, yeah, she's a close friend of mine, very close. Anybody says anything against Miss Shazam, they could be looking at a nice stone with her name on it, okay? Look, I'm answering your questions. Where's the problem? Mind you, it takes time. Listen, cop, how's about $5,000 see if we forget the whole business, huh?
Thank you, Mr. Cannelloni. Just a reminder here, guest investigators, that what you're hearing from these statements may be truth as pure as the driven snow, or it may have drifted a little from the truth. You can try and work out which as you cross-examine our witness. Simon, do you have a question for Luigi Cannelloni?
Yes, Mr. Cannelloni.
How you doing?
When you parted with Miss Van Horen, was your parting amicable or...
Well, you know how it is. Abroad, you get tired of abroad, you part from the broad's not happy. I'm sure you know, a man of the world like yourself.
Right, well, yes, obviously. But... Miss Van Horen, one might say, was less than enchanted with your ditching her for this Mimi Shazam?
Well, she's abroad. She's abroad of the world, you know? She knows the way things work. I get a little tired of her. I moved on to somebody else, but she knows about these things.
Miss Shazam and Miss Van Horen, did they ever meet?
I don't believe so. I think if they did, the foyer would fly, as they say, you know?
Right, Ruth, speaking as abroad, you may have something to contribute at this point.
And if you don't mind me saying so, abroad who's wearing well.
Ah, Mr. Cannelloni, now I understand the secret of your charm, which has eluded me until now.
I know how to talk to a lady.
Whatever you do, don't agree to meet him afterwards.
Mr. Cannelloni, perhaps we could ask one or two more specific questions.
Yeah,
I'm sure you were generous to Miss Van Horen when you were with her.
Yeah, well, I was paying the rent on her
rocks,
apartment.
Rocks, perhaps? Rocks?
Yeah, the odd present. You know, I bought her a couple of rings, some jewelry. Make her look pretty. Make her feel nice, you know, so she doesn't feel cheap when she goes out. None of my broads look cheap. I hate cheap. Nothing I hate more than cheap.
Yes, I think we've got that point. amongst your many and generous gifts, would there by any chance have been a small lady's gun of any description? Perhaps
no, I didn't give her no gun. Broads and guns, they don't mix, you know, because sometimes you slap them, they shoot you. The number of friends I lost like that. No.
Your time is up there with Mr. Cannelloni. Thank you very much indeed. I'm really very grateful, Mr. Cannelloni.
Thanks.
Very, very
I'll look
good.
After you, don't worry.
Yeah, thank you. And now we move on to our second statement, which comes from another close friend of Mr. Cannelloni, the club hostess...
Actress.
I beg your pardon, the actress, Miss Mimi Shazam.
It's Shazam, it's not Shazam. What, have I just jumped out of a hat? Am I a white rabbit or something? It's Shazam.
Sorry, Miss Shazam.
Okay. Mr. Cannelloni is a very good friend of mine. We share a lot of interests, like, well, as I say, he's a very good friend of mine. No, I ain't never met Lois Van Horen. What? She'd been Mr. Cannelloni's girlfriend? I don't think so. Mr. Cannelloni's told me I'm the first woman he's ever loved. No, of course I never been to Lois Van Horen's apartment in Norfolk Apartments off Santa Monica Boulevard. I don't even know where it is. No, I ain't never carried a gun. I wouldn't know how to use a gun. I do have a car, yes. Mr. Cannelloni was kind enough to give me a car as a birthday present. It's nothing flashy, just a white Cadillac convertible. No, I don't know nothing about Mr. Cannelloni's business affairs. The Linguini family? No, I ain't never heard of them. Philip Bowman? No, I ain't never heard that name. A private investigator? I ain't got nothing private that needs investigating.
Thank you, Miss Shazam. I'm sorry, Miss Shazam.
Well, she doesn't seem to actually know anything, does she?
Still, I know a whole lot.
Yes,
what are you
absolutely.
About?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, but maybe our guest investigators can elicit something by cross-examination. Ruth, would you like to start?
Miss Shazam, as one broad to another. Mr. Cannelloni is
Luigi.
A man of extraordinary
Luigi.
Charm.
Sure.
I can see that he is immensely attractive to women. I mean, I found it very hard to keep my hands off myself.
I'm warning you, sister. You go one way near him, I'm going to kill you.
You must have known that before you there must have been someone.
No, but there ain't been no one he ever loved before.
So you have no reason to feel any kind of jealousy?
No.
But Miss Van Horen had, I think, made it well known publicly that she had him first.
I don't even know the broad. She wasn't even blonde. You know?
Could I just ask you, pick you up on a small matter of detail? Miss Van Horen, you say, was not even a natural blonde. How can you be certain of this?
Well, we all move in the same circles. I ain't never met the broad, but I heard a lot about her. Because of Luigi, I want to know what kind of broad he knocked around with before me, even though he never loved them.
You're not at all jealous, of course.
Not a bit.
What is it exactly that you do, Miss Chasm?
I'm an actress.
An actress. And have you always been an actress?
Sure.
And you attended...
I was born under the Hollywood sign.
Oh, I see.
Under the Y.
and you have had some kind of dramatic training, obviously, to pursue
sure,
this career.
Sure, I had a lot of training in Louis B. Mayer's office.
Yes, yes. And did
He's
your...
He's
dead,
he won't sue.
Right.
Now we move on to our third statement, which comes from the private investigator, Mr. Philip Beaumont. Over to you, Mr. Beaumont.
Yeah. I never met Lois Van Horen until I saw her dead. And I don't really count that. For me, a meeting is an encounter where both participants are breathing. But I had spoken to Miss Van Horen. She rang me because she wanted protection. She was jumpy as a jackrabbit under a steam hammer. She figured someone was trying to blow her away. No. She didn't tell me who she was scared of. But boy, she was scared. Lois knew something. She had information. She was going to tell the cops. And someone was determined to spill her brains before she spilled the beans. Well, they succeeded. I feel bad she's dead, but I don't feel any responsibility. No. Hell, I got to her apartment just as quick as I could. She called me. I got into my car. I drive a 1940 gray Mercury coupe and drove over. But the traffic on Sunset was solid like a used car lot. I got there too late for Miss Van Horen's help. I parked the coupe outside Norfolk Apartments. I went to the manager's office. There was no one there, so I took the elevator up to Miss Van Horen's apartment. The door was half open. I rang the bell. No reply. I walked in. I pushed the door to the living room. Lois Van Horen was dead. The air was still sharp with powder smell, but aside from noticing that, I didn't snoop around. I'd been hired to protect her, not to find out who blew her away. Besides, I used to be a cop. I know you don't touch anything at a scene of a crime unless you got express orders from the chief to protect one of his friends, you know what I mean? I went back down to the manager's office and called through to the LAPD from there. No, I never met Mimi Shazam. The Cannellonis, I'd heard of. Even if you live in this city and have no interest in crime, you've heard of the Cannellonis. But I never met any one of them, alive or dead.
So, there you have it, a statement from Philip Beaumont, who is, of course, entirely incorruptible. Or is he? Ruth, Philip Beaumont is your witness.
A pleasure to meet you, Mr. Beaumont.
And you, sister.
Mr. Cannelloni, you have never met, but you know him by reputation? I mean, as
everyone knows the Cannellonis. They own everything in this town.
Yes, but as Cannellonis go, is he particularly fierce Cannelloni?
Luigi inherited the empire from his father, Fredo Cannelloni. Luigi's kind of dumb. The only thing that's going on between his ears is tumbleweed and a gas station with no one serving gas, if you know what I mean.
Miss Van Horen, from what you saw of her, and I understand that you did not have the good fortune to meet her alive.
No.
She was...
looked good as a stiff, though.
She did, yes. Was she perhaps getting a little beyond the age when Cannelloni's like him?
Yeah, she looked like she was the wrong side of 28, if you know what I mean.
What was she wearing at the time? Could you go into some detail about this?
Well, it was a silk negligee that was hanging off her in a provocative way. It was a few minutes before I called the police, sure, but... hell, that was just professional interest, you know.
Yes, but do you think that she was dressed for business, as it were, or...
It depends what her business was, sister.
Well, I was making the perhaps rash assumption that she was a hooker.
I don't think so. She was probably Luigi's pet dame. He probably kept a couple in each postal district.
Mr. Beaumont, why do you think Miss Van Horen called you?
Got no idea. Maybe she heard about me. Maybe it's because B is quite near the front of the yellow pages in the detective section. I don't know.
Right. You say she was very nervous.
When she called me?
When she called you.
Sure.
But she didn't confide in you?
Not over the phone, no. She didn't trust the phone. She wanted to meet me in person.
And did you tell anybody else?
Nobody at all.
So there are no witnesses to corroborate your story? So for all we know, you could have arrived there a little earlier.
Yep, I guess so, looking at it from a cop's point of view. And I used to be a cop, so I should know the way they look at things. Yeah, that's the way I would look at it. But I didn't do it, so it's not the way I would look at it to get it true, if you know what I mean.
Yes. I'm just going to write that down and try it. Do you have any idea who might have done this deed, Mr. Beaumont?
Well, I would have to say it's got to be the Cannellonis. If there's death and a cannelloni, the two go together, you know, like cannelloni and cheese. It's got to be those.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
I'm sorry, I'm a private investigator, but I'm a cheap one. The kind that Mr. Cannelloni would never employ. He doesn't like things cheap. Did he say that?
I think he did. You've jogged my memory.
Thank you very much, Mr. Beaumont,
sure, thanks.
For clarifying that situation. Simon and Ruth, do you think you're any nearer to pointing a finger at the murderer?
I think we're further away, actually.
You're further away.
Yes.
Now, the next thing I must ask
Wife,
you to
Mr.
do
Brett.
Is...
Wife, Mr. Brett!
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll just... Ah, yes. This is very interesting. I've just received a wire with the information that Detective Lieutenant Jesse Kopp has uncovered some new evidence which has a bearing on the case.
Yeah, we just had a call from some old broad called Zelda Winkelstein. She read in the paper about Lois Van Horen's murder. Miss Winkelstein lives in the block right across the street from Norfolk Apartments. And I figure she spends most of her time snooping through the drapes of what goes on there. She's been out of town at a relative's funeral, which is why she didn't call earlier. Yeah, this is what Zelda Winkelstein saw the afternoon Lois Van Horen died.
That Norfolk Apartments building has been full of cheap sluts. I tell you, the cars are parked outside there and the fat old coots will get out of them. The smell of dirty money kind of chokes you. Anyways, that afternoon, first thing I see, around 3 o'clock, let's say, is a white car, roof down, draws up outside. Cadillac, yeah, sure, could have been. Anyways, this blonde skirt gets out, but I never seen this one before. She goes into the block, then like 10 minutes later, she comes out running. And this time there's this fat geezer in a pinstripe suit and a fedora, you know, those goofy hats. So he's with her. They get into the white car and they shoot off like they don't want rubber left on the tire rims, you know what I'm saying? So, moments later, another car parks outside the block. This time it's gray. What? A Mercury? Aye, it could be. So this tall guy in a powder blue suit gets out. He goes into the building. Then, like half an hour later, all hell's let loose. You know, black and white LAPD cars prowling all around the place. That's all I saw.
Ruth and Simon, where does this new information... Well, actually, what I've got written here says, where does this new information leave your finely constructed theories? But I'm not sure... I'm not sure that it's applicable. What do you think about it now?
Well, it's my contention, having seen the broad in question, viz. Miss Schism, that even a cannelloni would have tired of her pretty damn fast.
You reckon?
So, I mean, obviously what happened was that he went back to the original broad, and Miss Schism got a bit upset about this and took action.
Simon?
That's a very ingenious theory, but are we meant to assume from Miss Winkelstein's testimony that it was Mimi Schism with Luigi Cannelloni in the car?
I think that is a possible interpretation.
That is a possible interpretation, in which case it would seem a little unlikely that Cannelloni would accompany her back to Miss Van Horen's.
No, I think she was moving with a minor Cannelloni there. I don't think it was Luigi.
Yes. Minor Cannelloni. Yes.
Well, I think possibly the way you can further your investigation is by calling each of the people who gave statements before, and you may ask them each one question.
I think we'd better have Philip Beaumont back. There's a question I want to ask him. Mr. Beaumont, we have the testimony of a witness who spotted you arriving at Miss Van Horen's apartment and has pointed out that the police did not arrive for another half an hour.
Yeah, well, that's the LAPD for you. They don't move fast when there's a crime involved. If there's money involved, they move like greased lightning.
Right. Ruth, do you have a question for Mr. Beaumont?
Yes, what possessed you to buy a powder blue suit?
I have no idea. It's the biggest mistake of my entire life.
Well, you can see how honest he is. Right, who would you like to call to the stand next?
Let's have Miss Schism get it out of the way. Now, you said that you had never been in your life to Miss Van Horen's apartment. We have an independent witness who can place you at the apartment shortly before her death.
What are you talking about? They're not telling the truth.
You're telling the truth.
I was painting my nails all afternoon. Look, candy surprise. Do you like it?
It's very good. I don't think it took you all afternoon, though.
I ain't got too steady a hand these days.
Ah. With whom were you in the white Cadillac?
I wasn't in the white Cadillac. I was painting my nails all afternoon.
Right. Do you want to call Mr. Cannelloni back to the stand?
I'd hate to, but I suppose we have to.
Right, Mr. Cannelloni, thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Cannelloni, you're a very intelligent man.
I like you. Yeah.
How could you have contented yourself with that cheap tramp?
The first time I saw Mimi, she popped out of a birthday cake. And I thought to myself, the way she's wearing those candles, that's the girl for me.
That's your question and that's your answer, Ruth. Simon, do you have a question for Mr. Cannelloni?
What sort of a car do you drive, Mr. Cannelloni?
Me?
Yes.
I don't drive a car. I have someone to do that for me.
And should Miss Schism ever drive you anywhere, in which car would you go around in?
I don't get driven around by broads. It looks bad.
So you have never been in a car with a broad?
I've been in a car with a broad, but not when she's driving. What, do you think I am, nuts? You think I get in a car that she was driving?
Right, thank you very much, Simon, for that broad interpretation of one question. Right, and now we're getting to a rather pertinent point. Ruth, who do you think murdered Lois Van Horen? Still the Pope?
No, I've moved slightly on that.
There will be relief in the Vatican.
Miss Schism. Nail painting business. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would have thought that was a morning activity myself.
Right. Thank you. Right. No. Well, Miss Schism. Simon, who would you point the finger at?
I can see why Ruth goes for Miss Schism. Miss Schism and Mr. Cannelloni have both lied. It doesn't sound to me like the kind of trademark murder that Mr. Cannelloni might go in for. So I'm going to plump for Mr. Beaumont, because he's the only one who appears to have been remotely telling the truth. Mm-hmm. He says that he was there. I can't accept his explanation that the police took as long to arrive as he says they did, but I think it was Mr. Beaumont.
Right. So it's your contention that it's Mr. Beaumont because murderers usually tell the truth.
Yes. Don't ask me to go into any further detail.
Seems to kill the whole premise of the whodunit. Yes, we're about to hear what actually happened. Over we go to Miss Lois Van Horen's apartment off Santa Monica Boulevard.
Luigi, you want to keep doing this, you're going to have to get rid of that floozy Mimi.
Yeah, listen, Lois. Luigi Cannelloni does what he wants to do.
Not with me, he doesn't.
Hey, wait a minute, Toots. Who's calling the shots here? I can throw you out of this apartment the minute I want to.
I don't think you do want to, though, do you, Luigi?
Why not?
Because I got information from the Linguini family.
Yeah.
About when they're going to make their next hit on your boys.
They don't know where my boys will be. The Linguini family never know where my boys are going to be.
They do now. They planted a spy in your camp.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I've asked Mimi Shazam to come over here this afternoon for a little talk.
Mimi?
She's the Linguini family's plant.
Mimi is?
That'll be her now. Get your pants on, Luigi. I'll go talk to her.
Mimi?
Are you Miss Lois Van Horen?
You got it. Are you Mimi Shazam?
Shazam! It's Shazam! Why can't anyone get my name right? Yes, I'm Mimi Shazam.
I asked you over here because I wanted to warn you.
Warn me?
Luigi Cannelloni is gonna kill you.
What?
It's true. Here, take this derringer. You kill him first, honey.
Mimi, what are you doing with that gun?
I don't know. I don't know what you do with guns.
You pull the trigger, honey, and you shoot Luigi. That's what you do.
But why would I want to do that?
Because he knows you're a plant.
I'm not a plant. I may not be very bright, but I do know I'm not a plant.
I'm sorry, Lois. Your story just doesn't blow. Mimi ain't no spy. She's too dumb. It's tough enough for her to lead a single life, let alone a double one.
Oh, gee, Mr. Cannelloni, you do say the sweetest things.
Use the gun. Shoot him, honey.
Yeah, I get it, Lois. You were so jealous of me and Mimi, you figured you could make her kill me and then take the miter rap. No dice. Give me the gun, Mimi.
Sure, Mr. Cannelloni.
There. Now, wouldn't you say there's been something of a shift of power in this situation? I've got the rod. And, of course, unlike Mimi, I have no problems about using it.
I parked the coupe in front of Norfolk Apartments. I went to the manager's office. There was no one there. Sorry about talking to myself all the time, but in my line of business, monologue's kind of an occupational hazard. Anyway, so, I took the elevator up to Miss Van Horen's apartment. The door was half open. I rang the bell. No reply. I walked in.
Who the hell are you?
My name's Philip Beaumont. I'm a private investigator. You look upset. What's happened?
I just nearly got shot with this little derringer. That's what's happened.
Yeah, tell me about it. And let me check out the gun.
There.
Thanks.
I got information about when the Linguini family's planning their next hit on the Cannellonis.
Uh-huh.
I got a meeting to tell the cops tomorrow so they can catch the Linguinis red-handed.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Luigi Cannelloni got me wrong. He thought because I knew about what the Linguini family was planning, I must be one of their operators.
Uh-huh.
He would have shot me if that dumb broad Mimi hadn't said it'd make a mess of the Davenport for when she moved in.
Uh-huh.
But as I say, Luigi got me wrong. Sure, I got information on the Linguini family, but I'm not one of their operators.
No, I know you're not.
Say, how can you be so sure?
Because I am one of their operators.
What?
And I'm going to see to it that you never make that meeting with the police. Farewell, my lovely. This is the long goodbye. You know, out here on the mean streets, it's a tough job I do, but hell, somebody's gotta do it.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lee and Maria. A tragic scenario worthy of the Royal Opera House. And how right were our guest investigators? Well, Ruth, I think you were closer with the Pope. Simon, on the other hand, by sheer intuition and deduction, you reached the right conclusion.
Yes, you could call it luck.
Yes, that's another word.
Could call it luck.
Anyway, that's it for this week's Foul Play, and indeed for the current series. But we'll be back with a new series soon. My thanks, as ever, go out to our massive cast of Hollywood superstars, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And many thanks as well to our guest investigators, Ruth Dudley Edwards and Simon Shaw.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Anne Jobson.